Alright, time for another draftphysics.com. Debate physics also, but nobody to debate, really. People aren't capable of it. People available, anyway. There's not too many available people, so... Yeah, it's a strange circumstance. Short of megaphoning or something, you know, nobody hears you, so nobody can yell out their window some other kind of argument or something, anyway. So it's just the locals, and the locals don't really know enough to make any kind of decent arguments, so there aren't any. Something like that, anyway. All right, so we're going to talk about relativity. And I would argue that relativity means you believe, if you believe in this idea of motional relativity, that motion is relative, then you believe energy is relative. There's no way to separate the fact that stuff is moving, and you can say it. I mean, you can say that nothing's really moving, okay? Somehow it's some sort of space contraction crap. But the truth is that it does make a difference which thing is moving, which thing has the energy. That if I bang two things that are uneven in their size, they'll, let's just say this is much heavier than this is. So if this hits this, it bounces off, and this goes this way. That's what's going to happen. And if this hits this, then they're both going to go in this direction. So it does make a difference. One of them has the energy. One of them has momentum. And it's not relative momentum. It's real momentum. It's got a real velocity. So the whole idea of relativity just doesn't work. And so this, there's a couple of videos sort of related. So I guess... we'll play part of one of them, but there's these different experiments. So I guess Newton was dealing with this argument. I didn't realize he dealt with this relativity argument. And so he has this bucket experiment where you spin the bucket and the water rises up the sides. Now, the reason why the water's doing that, it's all about friction, right? If there's no friction, then nothing communicates its motion. So if there's a spinning disc right next to me, nothing happens until I touch it, until I'm in contact with it, and I absorb some of its energy. And then when I absorb its energy, what's going to happen is I'm absorbing it in one direction, right? I'm only going to touch one part of the disc, the part of the disc moving vertically to me, right? So when I touch the disc, the spinning disc, right, I'm going to hit one spot that's always moving in one direction, and that's the direction it's going to give me. And there's no gravitational force to the center, right? There's not a black hole in the center of the disk, so there's no reason for me to change that direction. And so that direction is going to take me to the outside of the disk. I'm just going to go straight. Now I'm going to go straight on a curved line because as I start moving across the disk and I'm making contact, I'm touching it, the friction, I'm going to have some more friction with parts of the disk that are moving in other directions. And they're going to give me a little bit of velocity in those directions. But I'm heading for the outside of the disc, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hit the outside of the disc. Or I'm going to fly off the disc in the case of the bucket. Now, what keeps the water in the bucket is gravity. The water gets heavy as it goes up the sides, and so gravity keeps it in the bucket. If there was no gravity, then the water would just go right out of the bucket. But if there was no gravity, then you could argue if you were in space, you wouldn't have any air pressure. And so there wouldn't be water in the bucket. The water wouldn't stay in the bucket. So, it gets a little more complicated about how you apply the friction. How do you get the water to start spinning because you don't have any points of contact? The water doesn't spin from the center out. The water spins from the outside in, okay, through friction, through contact, okay. So he uses this experiment to say, yes, the observers are going to be able to see a different universe. It makes a difference whether the bucket's spinning or the water's spinning or whatever, the universe is spinning. And you can tell the difference. Now, I think these arguments, again, they're to me a little bit more convoluted than they need to be because you're basically just saying you need some object that has a, that isn't subject to relative distortion. something that, you know, is absolute to the absolute universe. And the only thing we have is light. So as I pointed out, might as well show that, just to do it. And again, the details, you know, you keep going a little deeper and you can find, you know, arguments that, you know, just make it impossible. You know, the thought experiments really can't be converted into real experiments because the physics does break down. But the idea of the light clock, that's not going to work, probably. All right, the idea of the spaceship, and you just send a piece of light, okay, across the spaceship. And so as you're moving, my argument would be, all right, is that as you shoot this light, well, the arrow should be this way, that's a source. The fact is that your ship is moving, and if you're part of the ship, then you're going to be moving with the ship, okay? So the side of the ship is moving, you're an observer, and you're going to be moving with it. And from your perspective inside this ship, okay, the light has to do this, okay? Because the light's going straight, and it doesn't care that you're moving the target. You know, the target was here. By the time the light gets here, it's here, you know. I mean, by the time the light gets here, the target is moved here, so the light's going to look like it's below the target as it moves straight across to the wall. So, you know, if this was the bullseye, obviously, if this is where the bullseye was when the light was launched, obviously it's going to hit down here instead. And then part of the problem, though, is that as I'm arguing, light is polarized. It has a size to it. So a photon isn't going to survive this process anyway, because it's going to get stretched out by the same process of the sides moving, and it's not going to hit the atoms it needs to hit at the time it needs to hit them to be a photon. So that's what I'm saying, but you can go deeper and break the thought experiment entirely, because you won't be able to transmit light in this manner. So I would argue that that is enough right there. Now, Einstein creates some sort of rig, okay, where somehow the light goes forward, you know, and so it does this or whatever, you know, it ends up hitting the right spot because it goes forward, you know, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It doesn't happen, I don't think, in reality. But it's just this idea that the only thing that really is, even, say, an electron, my argument to you would be is that even an electron is like a baseball. It's like all these other physical objects. If I have any physical object and I give it one motion and then I create some other motion, you know, some other force hits it from some other direction, it holds both directions. It doesn't really create the new direction. It doesn't combine the two forces. It combines them in an outcome, but inside of it, it's still doing this, and then you added this. And the only time you actually do the math is when you create the opposite force, then you kill the force. But otherwise, the forces are staying inside until some force that has an element going this way undoes this arrow, makes it smaller. You know, you can't make this arrow smaller unless you counter it with some force that has an element in this direction. All right, so even an electron is doing the baseball thing. That is, if I'm moving and I throw an electron, the electron has motion in the direction I'm moving, so it's already got that motion. So it's going to move this way plus the direction I shoot it. It's still moving both ways. So the trick is you need something that doesn't keep its original motion. But like I said, to destroy relativity, all you need to do is understand that, you know, I can just do this experiment. Again, if the little thing is moving, it's going to bounce off of the big thing, all right? And if the big thing is moving, they're both going to go the same way. And so the universe will look different depending on which one actually has the energy. So, you know, it really shouldn't be contestable. Now, they have another experiment where they take a, well, I mean, you can have twisted wire. So let's just say you have you have stuff, and then you rotate, you know, with weights on either end. You rotate it, and you twist the wires, either these wires or these wires. You can't undo the fact that they're getting twisted by the process of turning. And so you'll be able to see that the wires are twisted. That's another used experiment to complicate this idea of relativity. So anyway, they call this Mach's principle in the sense that there's the catch is, okay, is that there's some force that comes from the external universe, some information that somehow fixes perspectives. So even though this is happening, it doesn't look like this. I don't know. I don't know how you fix certain things. So I can't understand the principle because it's just sounds like spooky action. It just sounds like you say so. You know, just like saying the light goes forward. You say so. Nah, there's no proof that it does. There's no evidence that it does. So, well, anyway. So that's sort of the subject. All right, so this video by Dialect, I guess that's what it says, yeah. Anyway, I ought to watch some of the other videos on this channel. Apparently there's some physics videos, so I'll have to look into that. But there was a 60 symbols video that is more directly related to Mach's principle, so I'll play this part of it where... So their idea is this is a nice animation. So the idea, they have a rotating wooden floor and then you get on it with roller skates. Now the key is when you get on the thing, you don't have any motion. And the only place you're going to get motion from or energy from is from the friction you have with the surface that's rotating. And again, it's only going to be rotating in one direction where you're standing. So your initial motion is going to be in a direction. And there's nothing to turn you. So you're not going to stay the same distance from the center because you're not moving the center. So it's just like being in orbit and all of a sudden gravity stops. You just shoot off in a direction. Well, the same thing happens here because there's no gravity to pull anything in towards the center. There's no gravity adding an external force. Adding a force. So you have a force in a direction. There's no force being added to your motion to change it, to change which direction you end up going. You're still going the way you're collecting energy. So as it's rotating, again, I'm saying, as you move on the disc, you hit rotations in different, and you know, in different directions. In those different directions, each one of those directions just adds another vector of motion.
I can answer that though.
Okay.
Oh wait, let me. Gotta pull up the video. Sorry. Yeah. At least I thought of it. It's all this stuff you have to keep your mind on. So I guess. Well, you saw the bucket in the other video, right? You saw that. Yeah, it doesn't matter. All right, let me go back to this wooden thing, but you didn't see that. All right. So it was a good animation, is all I was saying.
Same to an outside observer. They, you know, they're both, one's thing's rotating relative to the other.
All right, probably too much volume. Oh, I should have fixed this ahead of time. Blah, 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 blah.
I can answer that, though.
Okay.
If you created that scenario for me there, mm-hmm. The person on the roller skate wouldn't move.
With the rest of the, but how does the
if the outside is rotating, the external universe is rotating, so the thing inside isn't rotating, then clearly, just like the heavy thing hitting the light thing or the light thing hitting the heavy thing, the outside observer is going to be able to see that the skater isn't moving. So the two universes will look very different depending on which one is actually moving. So you can observe the difference. And again, this seems a small point to me. I'm just saying, do you really think that momentum is relative? I mean, do you really think energy is relative? Because that's the implications of creating full relativity in space and saying that all motion is relative, is that you're basically saying all energy is relative. You really think so?
Universe, no, right? You're right. You're absolutely right. But it means, in some sense, rotation is absolute, right? That actually you can tell the difference between whether the room's rotating and the rest of the universe is stationary, or whether...
All matter, okay, has to be seen. And the seeing part, you're seeing with something absolute, that is the photons. So that's the only part that's absolute, though. Everything else is relative in the sense that everything else acquires the flavor of the environment it's in. If it's in gravity, the gravity affects it. And so they're all being affected by the same force. So everything in this room, we're all flying through space, and we're all doing it the same. I mean, this pen is flying through space. I put it on the desk. It's still flying through space. But it has exactly the same forces. It's collected exactly the same amount of momentum that I have. So it's going with me. I mean, you know, it can't connect to anything absolute.
The room stationary and the rest of the universe is rotating by the fact whether or not on your roller skates you get pushed to the outside. And
so again, you don't get pushed anywhere, okay? You acquire through friction some of the motion, and you don't even acquire much of it, right? You just have to acquire any of it. So any motion you acquire has no connection to the, you're not going to change the rotation of the floor. The floor is going to change you. So the floor rotating is giving you motion, because there's the wheels start rolling, and the wheels start rolling, your gravity, your weight is putting pressure on the bearings, and the bearings are basically saying the wheel's going that way, okay? Because the weight on the bearing will be going in a certain direction, the opposite direction. So you have to go that way. You don't have any choice, because the pressure on the bearing is going that way, so you have to go that way. And there's nothing forcing you inside, so you go in a straight line to the outside. Now, again, it won't be a straight line, because the whole time this is still rotating, so it's going to keep changing your direction a little. So you'll go on a curved parabola line.
That's what Musk's principle says, is that actually the physics of the small scale depends on the large scale, right? That actually the entire universe is somehow influencing this room. So
I mean, you really think that's the way it works? I mean, it doesn't come from the small to the out. You know, it's the small universe first, and then that makes the big universe. Somehow you think the big universe is telling the small universe what to do? Come on.
That you actually know that it's the room that's rotating and the rest of the universe that's stationary, rather than the rest of the universe that's rotating and the room stationary. Somehow the two are talking to each other.
They're talking to each other, and one's saying, I'm the big guy here and you're the little guy. So
that's that spooky action or crazy action or nonsense action or what the hell are you talking about action? That's just not crap.
You're the thing spinning, not me.
Exactly. Although, you know, in principle, you could make the entire universe rotate if you wanted to. It'd be a lot of effort. But actually, you know, you could do it. But somehow they know which is the thing that's really rotating, which is the thing that isn't. And that means somehow the physics...
But the whole point of relativity is to say there isn't anything really rotating. I mean, you know, isn't that the whole point? Is some sort of argument that somehow all the differences aren't real differences? Because where else can you go with this idea of frames and having any kind of difference? If you're changing your space-time configuration in these different spaces, again, how do you do any translation between them? You can't, realistically.
The physics of the large scale is affecting what's going on the small scale. The reason why you know you're rotating is only by reference to the entire universe around you.
All right, but what sounds more logical? The reason why you know you're rotating is because you're creating physical friction with these objects, the wall, first the floor, then the wall, okay, and all of these are creating momentum, and the momentum is in directions and it's preventing you from moving. Like the one motion you had motion going sideways. You lost all that motion because you now have friction against this wall. If the wall had, you know, little wheels on it, and so you could still, you weren't stuck to it, okay, then the wall would be moving too. because you wouldn't move with the wall. You're only moving with the wall because your momentum is in the direction of the wall, and now the wall has to change it into the direction the wall is going. I mean, it's just the contact is the mechanism through which you're gaining the momentum of the object you're on, and the that momentum, you're not going to gain all of it. You're only going to gain part of it.
And another statement of Mach's principle, which is kind of the same thing, is that if you actually made the entire universe rotate, including this room, you wouldn't be able to tell, because then there's nothing for it to be rotating relative to.
So again, you wouldn't be able to tell. Of course, does it make any sense if the whole universe is rotating? I couldn't tell. Well, yeah, I could.
Back to just the room in the universe,
yep.
The simple version.
Yeah.
Has anyone got any idea how this, through what medium this information is communicated between the room and the universe?
Not in detail. I mean, this is why it's a principle rather than a law, is that actually it's just something which we know has to be happening, because we can tell when we're in a rotating room and when we're not. But what the
isn't this circular reasoning? Because we know there must be a reason that somehow relativity still works, even though it looks like it doesn't work. So it's just a way of getting out of the argument by just saying, no, there's some, this is a lot worse than hidden variable, right? So Einstein suggests there's a hidden variable, and everybody mocks that as nonsense. When, this seems a lot more desperate.
Mechanism is not entirely clear, at least in detail.
So it is kind of ironic because, okay, so there's a good point to stop, on a picture of Einstein. Because, Einstein started all this, and then it's went places he thought were irrational. And, and in the end, in the 30s, Mach was an asset to his argument. In the 50s, he was, or 40s, he was a detriment to his argument. So in the end, he wasn't too keen on Mach.
This very much influenced Einstein when he was moving on from special relativity to general relativity.
Well, it was more like 1920, the teens.
Because clearly he was very kind of thinking about reference frames, because he'd done all that with special relativity. Then you come to this general relativity case where he knew perfectly well that actually if you're in a rotating room, you're in a rotating room because you get flung to the walls. And that was what made him think that actually whatever is going on in general relativity has to somehow have Mach's principle imprinted in it. And indeed, the law...
So, and again, he drifted from that acceptance of that as just more spooky action. So, so that's, it's probably enough. I don't get the argument. It never even occurred to me to imagine. I mean, I tried imagining it, but I mean, it just doesn't go anywhere. Imagining a universe where there's no such thing as quiet. Something's not moving. Of course, there's three-dimensional space and something cannot be moving in it. Why not? And everything else is moving relative to that not moving thing. Everything else has to move relative to it. It goes a certain speed or has a certain amount of velocity. And, I just don't get how you can convert that into somehow I'm just going to pretend nothing has actual motion. So nothing's actually moving in the actual three dimensions. When everything says that's exactly what everything's doing. I just don't, and there's no reason to think otherwise. There's no good reason to not realize that the baseball's doing, I throw the baseball. The baseball already has the motion of the earth in it. It has the rotation of the earth. It has the motion of the earth going through space around the sun. It has the sun's, motion through space. All of those motions are already built into the baseball when I throw it. I'm just adding a new arrow. I'm just saying, now I'm going to put this arrow into the environment. And the Earth can be rotating the opposite way, and I could actually be taking velocity off of the baseball. So relative to everything else that's moving on the Earth, I'm through the baseball the opposite way. The baseball is actually going slower than the other objects. But it doesn't change the fact that it has a certain impact speed, differential speed. The vectors are different, then it doesn't matter. But it does matter in terms of their total energy, so their size will tell you the truth. So I guess theoretically you could argue that there's a slight difference between throwing a baseball against a brick wall. You know, if you could throw the baseball a long distance, it has enough time for it to matter, you know, just because of the amount of velocity of the building. Say you're throwing a baseball against a building and the earth's rotating this way versus throwing against the building when the, you know, building's going that way. But the fact is your throwing speed is also increased in one direction and your throwing speed is decreased in the other direction. So, yeah, that won't work. But anyway, but yeah, you can pick at these thought experiments to pieces in terms of what happens to real physics and how much the physics breaks down. So it's like the light argument. Can a photon survive? Can you shoot a photon, okay, at an object, okay, and have an expectation, all right, that if you're moving this way towards, you know, and the object's moving the opposite way, is there some expectation that the photon is, it doesn't matter how fast those objects are moving? Because I would argue the photon is a composite object. It takes time for a photon to hit a surface. So if you do anything to disrupt the landing timing, then the photon's not going to be a photon anymore. But anyway, yeah, it's probably enough for this. This is a first video. Just saying, I don't get it. I don't get how everybody just goes along with this relativity thing just because of the fact that it's basically saying that there isn't anything, momentum doesn't really exist. It's not something things have. When I think, of course, it's what things have. And you can test for it, but it's just unfortunate that all the tests have to be done with something that's impervious to collecting more than one velocity. And like I said, even the electron, in my opinion, is collecting more than one velocity. You have to, you know, if an electron's moving this way, you apply a force this way, the electron has both of those forces. Still. Anyway. Alright, so till the next time and such. I guess I could play a little tiny bit more of this. But.
Laws of general relativity say that what kind of affects the motion on the small scale depends on the distribution of mass all over the universe. Because actually the curvature of space, the way that space is distorted on small scales, depends on the distribution of mass throughout the universe. So it actually, in some sense, sort of has mass principle built into it, because what's going on a very small scale in terms of particles being accelerated around by gravity depends on how space has been distorted, which in turn depends on the distribution of mass throughout the universe. So
again, just saying the word space is distorted doesn't really account for the putting frames inside of frames inside of frames and pretending that, you know, you can quadruple the speed of light or all this other stuff that would be the implications of all that mush. So I don't think that works. But there's no way to fight through the gibberish. Space is communicating it through the bent mechanism. Oh, okay. I don't think so, but whatever, you can say it.
He was very much inspired by Marx's principle to think about the things which then led to general relativity.
I find this deeply disturbing that the universe is talking to itself like this and we have no idea how.
It is. No, somehow that information on the big picture of the universe is somehow being communicated to the small scale.
Okay, so that's not really a great answer, is it? You know, yeah. I don't think it's very good. Yeah, I wouldn't be satisfied. Okay, that breaks absolute space. So absolute, we find an argument against your argument that there's no absolute space, and your argument is, well, somehow there is, isn't, you know, it's just because the universe somehow is going to trick you into thinking one thing when the other, it's obvious it's the other thing. No, I don't think so. All right, so that's probably enough. Yeah, I just don't get relative energy. No. No, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. It's not a viable concept. And that's what relative motion means, relative energy. It, universe don't do that. So anyway, enough of video. So this has been a draftphysics.com video presentation. Blah, 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 blah.